Some of you have probably noticed that Moses is learning how to charm people. Thankfully, he's not yet fully conscious of what's happening. And I think that makes it better. It makes it less contrived. And I'm not sure how long it will last, because he really gets rewarded whenever he does it. It may start with Grandma complimenting him on the pajamas he chose to wear. And he'll look right at her and say in the most earnest way, "Thank you." Or maybe an aunt will remark upon the richly colored Lego structure that he just built. Again, "Thank you." There's something about surprises and gratefulness that just make them go together. Do you know that feeling you have when you see a rainbow? I mean, we know what makes rainbows. And sometimes as those conditions assemble, we may even start to realize there could be a rainbow. But even if we're starting to look for them, they still are a surprise. They still catch us in a way off guard. Not just any kind of surprise, but the kind that can get us talking to strangers. Has that ever happened to you? We could be walking down the sidewalk and see a rainbow and just want to tell somebody. We might see someone walking away from it and realize that they don't see it. And so we point it out to them, even though we're not the kind of person that, I'm not talking about me, but some other of you might not be the kind of person that will just easily talk to strangers, but it's a rainbow. You just got to break the silence, you know? Surprises like this awaken our spirits. They draw our attention outside of our routines, our responsibilities, our worries. I'm very mindful that this is the last sermon I'll ever share with you as your pastor. And there are so many things I'd like to be able to share. But as I was sifting through what felt most important last week, getting ready for church, I was listening to Krista Tippett. And she was speaking with a Benedictine monk, Brother David Stendel Rast. He was talking about gratefulness and the role it plays at the heart of our prayer and our spirituality. He was sharing about the thanksgivings that we offer as a response to gratefulness and how it changes us and it changes our relationships. It changes our world. In short, he says, gratefulness has power. It's a subtle kind of power, a gentle kind of power, but it has power. In some of his latest writings, he actually expands on the nature of the power of gratefulness. He observes that we're watching in our world institutions crumble, get blown up. I mean, I'm not just talking about like buildings. I'm talking about the church, like the government, like our notions of what it means to build up this tradition or this structure that helps to hem us in and carry us along, that unites us and holds us together. They're getting blown up. People are walking away from them. And Brother David says maybe part of the reason is because they've tended to wield power in more coercive ways. Ways that are strong and effective in their own way, but are not life-giving and are tearing us apart. He says the new kinds of power that are emerging build networks. They rely on the power of relationship, of connection. And connections are deepened when we become aware of them. He he talks a lot about wakefulness. David Stendelrast is over 90 years old. As a child, he watched World War I veterans in his native Austria struggling with their wounds from the war. As a teenager, he saw Hitler come to power in next-door Germany and then invade Austria. He survived bombings in which he thought his life was about to end, and he was somehow spared. And from that moment of surviving World War II, decided to just dedicate his life to doing whatever he could to be a vessel of love, to be a vessel of healing in the world. And he describes that process as one of awakening. Now, we hear different religious traditions talk about awakening. And sometimes we think of wakefulness as either we're awake or we're asleep. But let's be honest, most of us know it's a wider range than that, isn't it? Aren't there times when we're awake? Aren't there times when you're driving down the road and you come to and realize you don't remember the last 2 miles you drove? You just, where were you? You know, like thankfully you still kept the car on the road, but we have times when we're awake, but we're not awake. And I know you sometimes have times when you're in bed, but you're not asleep, or you're somewhere in between. In truth, wakefulness is not a binary condition. It's something that develops. It's something that grows. And the people who spend the most time contemplating wakefulness, being truly and fully attuned. I'm talking about like monks who cloister themselves in silence so they can just commune with God and their brothers who share their commitment. These people describe wakefulness as something that you can never stop becoming more awake. We never arrive to full wakefulness. It's a continual process. In his book, Gratefulness, the Heart of Prayer, he says, really, the things that are most important for us in becoming happy and whole people are things we learned as children. He said, what do you do before you cross the street? We teach our children to stop, to look. And then when it's time, when it's safe, to go. He says our spiritual life is like that. But sometimes it requires that we plant stop signs. We don't just keep on keeping on because of all the responsibilities we have or the commitments, that a spiritual life, that life lived in connection with God and each other, requires stopping from time to time. Do you have stop signs in your life? Do you have stop signs like that? Feel free to call out if you have a stop sign like that.
Or if you've
experienced a stop sign like that.
Grace before a meal.
Grace before a meal. You definitely have to stop because you want to eat, don't you? Yes, grace before a meal. New Year's Eve, stop sign.
Sundays.
Yeah, Sundays seem like go day to me, but I hear you. I hear you. For me, it's Monday, right? Yeah.
surgeries, recovery, is that a stopping time? Like, time to stop. Time to get this fixed.
Communion.
Yeah.
For me, birthdays.
Birthdays. Yeah. Well, I'll invite you this week to think about stop signs in your life. Whether you have enough of them. Maybe feel like you have too many. Or maybe the things that feel like they're slowing us down are not actually because we're actually stopping. Maybe we're just creating so much friction as we go through trying to keep on doing everything we do. Well, that's the first step in awakening, David Snedgrass says. Stop. Then we look. Then we look. Look at what's around us. Look at the spiritual terrain. What do you see when you stop and look? What do you see right now? It's not always easy to share those things that we see. David Snedgrass encourages people to beware when they start to practice gratefulness, when they start putting stop signs in their lives, when they start looking in new ways, because we see new things. And some of those things overwhelm us, make us discouraged, afraid. I'll be honest, I have a conflicted relationship with gratitude. I've heard people express express gratitude as a panacea, as a cure-all, as though whatever's going on in your life, oh, you got cancer, just change your attitude, right? You just need the right attitude. But David Snedgrass warns about how oppressive it can be to suggest that the reason someone has cancer or the reason they may not be getting well is because they don't have the right attitude. That's a heavy load to put on people. Or people who are stuck in poverty, in broken relationships and addiction. In truth, changing our attitude is not always enough. And it's not always possible to adopt the kind of attitude that some people want. Some people can surround themselves with a kind of insulated, rosy, optimistic, you know, we put on the rose-colored glasses and you're not seeing the injustice in the world or the people who have real needs that are right in front of you. And it can be easy to create this kind of false sense of comfort from that. But he says gratitude is not being grateful for everything. Gratitude does not dispel anger or fear. It doesn't cure all of those things. It helps us understand them. He suggests when we find something that we're not grateful for, violence, hatred, war, injustice, poverty, hunger, you name it, there are lots of things that we are not grateful for, that gratefulness must come from a recognition of the opportunity. The opportunity presented by what we're not grateful for. To consider how we can respond. To discover the power that we have to build and strengthen relationship, love, connection, to engage. And this is what takes us from the stop and the look to the go. Right? Didn't JFK say the appropriate response of gratefulness is actually to change the way we live? It means taking action, standing up, finding our voice, risking ourselves in relationship. Friends, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for welcoming me and my family. You are such a warm and loving group of people, and you've made us feel truly welcome at a challenging time in our lives. I want to thank you for teaching me new ways of partnering in ministry. So many of you are so active, so engaged, so using your gifts, responding to your sense of call. I've gotten to work with people in ways that I haven't been able to in previous churches I've served. You're a treasure, and it's rich to have the opportunity to truly partner with people, to not simply be in the leadership position, but to really treat leadership as shared, and you do. I want to thank you for stretching me, for orienting me to new music, to planning further ahead, to learning to understand the unique needs and opportunities of this place and its relationship to civil service and public policy. It leaves me still with a good many questions, mostly about how best we in the church can create and sustain a culture of constructive engagement with our culture, with the powers, without succumbing to the pitfalls of polarization and division that we see all around us. I'm still asking how we do that. I'm still asking how and what it means for the church to lead our culture, to lead in the world around us, lead people toward reconciliation and healing. We've never needed it more. And we have the opportunity now, even as we form new partnerships in ministry, to continue to learn, to continue to reflect, and to discover new ways of doing that. And I look forward to keeping in touch, learning how that's going. In truth, this group is different every single Sunday. We're like a constellation of souls that move in and out, and we've got people in Madison, Wisconsin, and in China, and we've got people just all over who are a part of this body, and I want to stay a part of this body, and you will remain in my heart. I thank you for your friendship. What we've learned together has helped me grow as a person, I think as a pastor. So I leave you filled with gratitude. And I hope you'll be blessed too, even when there are times you feel overwhelmed or seasick with change, that you'll take solace in the opportunities at all times to learn and to grow closer to God and to each other. Amen.